Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' Game 4 loss to the Raptors. Toronto up now 3-1 in the NBA Finals. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
All right, Ray, the Warriors are down now 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Hard to believe, but they're still in it, but it's really going to be tough. The only team to overcome that deficit actually was the Cavaliers when they beat the Warriors a few years ago. And, you know, to me, Ray, it just looks like the Warriors are a team that is beaten up. They're playing without Kevin Durant. They played one game without Klay Thompson. They were really, really fortunate to get Kevon Looney back in the lineup today, able to play. But, you know, even he's probably, you know, a little beat up because he's playing after having a fracture somewhere on his right side. So this team looks like, you know, it's really not 100%, and the Raptors are playing such inspired basketball.
They really are, and they're the better team right now. You just got to tip your hat to them. They're deeper than the Warriors, even if it's just 1-8. The 1-8 are solid. And, the Warriors played really hard in the first half, and there was great defensive intensity, but they couldn't extend the lead. And by the half, it was 4 points, and you're thinking, in fact, I tweeted it out, the Warriors have to be feeling good about life. And I should say the Raptors. So, you know, once it got to the second half and they took the lead, it was a very – dark feeling that came over the fans there at Oracle Arena, who were very loud at the start of the game. But reality is setting in. That's the bottom line here. The Warriors are tired. They're beat up, like you said. The Raptors can feel this. The Raptors are not daunted by the moment. Kawhi Leonard was incredible. He's, if not the best player in the game right now, he's right up there on the podium. And, you know, he's a little bit hurt himself, but he is just balling out. And he's making every big shot. They can't stop him. The shots that weren't falling for the Raptors in the first half went in the second half. And they look like the better team at this point. The Warriors, and I've said this from the get, needed Kevin Durant to win this series. And he's still not here. And I don't even know at this point if Durant, in whatever condition he's in, comes back and saves them for the rest of this series. It might have been the last game the Warriors played at Oracle Arena tonight.
Yeah, it might have been. And as far as Durant is concerned, a lot of conversation about his injury and how serious that was. What are the Warriors telling us about it? How truthful is that? I mean, you really have to wonder, because people were expecting that maybe he would come back at the beginning of the finals. Some people speculating that he wouldn't play at all, and that might still be the case. I just think, Ray, if you're going to see him and he's not, 80%, 90%, or 100%, which we don't think he's going to be, if he's not any of that, I don't know how much he's going to help this team. I mean, yeah, it'd be great to see him out there. I thought it was pretty amazing the way Klay Thompson played coming off the strained hamstring. I mean, that's almost remarkable in itself. And even, to see Kevon Looney out on the floor. So who knows with Durant, maybe with a little more rest, but I think it really would be surprising if he played his normal, Kevin Durant-type basketball.
Yeah, I mean, we're all playing doctor at this point, right? We don't know how serious it is. It's a little strange when Steve Kerr goes out there and says one night, yeah, we're going to have him do a workout, and then the next day, whoops, sorry, no. No setback, but he's not quite ready, and so on and so on. maybe it's just real bad timing on this, or, you know, and the Warriors did say at one point this was more serious than they thought. And, you know, maybe Kevin Durant is having a conversation with his people and saying, is it worth it? Maybe if the Warriors came back and tied it, it'd be worth it to try to nail down a championship. Now they're down 3-1, and you're thinking, okay, he goes to Canada and, you know, risks injury while going into free agency. But you know what? I mean, that didn't bother Kevon Looney. Obviously, he's in a different situation. DeMarcus Cousins is going out there playing, not very well, but he's going out there playing. And then you have Klay Thompson, who was, you know, incredible again. I mean, I have so much respect for Klay and what he did in this game tonight, a losing effort. He kept them in it for a while. But they're just too much stress on the Warriors now. And you know what it is? And we've talked about it all season long, and we saw glimpses of it during the regular season with the loss of focus. You get physically and mentally tired after five seasons of being in the finals. It's an incredible run, no matter what happens, five straight years in the finals. But there's some wear and tear there, man. And, you know, over a long season, and plus playing the equivalent of an extra season's playoff games, it's amazing to me these guys don't get hurt more often than they do. And so now you're at a point where the wear and tear is coming back and biting the Warriors in the butt, unfortunately. So I wonder if KD is sitting there and, you know, weighing whether it's worth it at this point. But we'll find out, you know, where his heart is here in the next few games, because Klay Thompson risks injury, and he goes out there and plays. Apparently with Looney, it was, you know, I guess they figured out that it wasn't any worse risk of injury. But it seems like they would have known that the other night. That was a little strange as well. Just a very strange potential last week at Oracle Arena, all the way around with the weird injury news, and then one of the owners getting booted.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Brought up the point about the wear and tear, and Tim Legler was talking about that on ESPN, and I really agree, because you look at Steph Curry, and he had to give so much to score 47 points in Game 3. So in Game 4, I think that kind of wore on him. He didn't have much time in between the games. I mean, he still scores 27, but he was 9 of 22 from the field, 2 of 9 on threes. He was making mistakes. He definitely, you know, he wasn't boxing out a couple times where he should, or he left a wide open shot there for Danny Green where he was looking like he was trying to double Kawhi Leonard. So I just think he looks worn out. Hopefully, you know, you get a couple days off in between going to Toronto and he bounces back. But, you know, Curry, the rest of the Warriors, they do look like they're, you know, feeling the effects of the 5-year run and just kind of being worn out.
I think it's part of it, and, you know, again, you've got guys on the floor who are not 100%, and that includes Iguodala, and you've got a very fresh Toronto team that is, you know, going for the first title, very hungry. I think that all plays into it as well. But, you know, I don't see a scenario at this point where the Warriors come back and win this series. Of course it could happen. This is a team with championship blood. We've seen them pull things out of the fire for a long time now. So, you know, you never want to discount that with the Warriors, but this is a pretty dire situation. And it's going to take Kevin Durant coming back and being Kevin Durant and giving them a boost of adrenaline and getting a Game 5 win and coming back to Oracle. Are their hearts in it after all this basketball and all this energy they've expended? We're going to find out. But the Raptors look like, you know, they've got this thing nailed down, and they're going to be incredibly fired up for Game 5 in Toronto. They got a whole country behind them, for crying out loud.
No, there's no doubt about that. I think Steve Kerr has an important decision to make as far as DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I'm going to say, you know, just watching him, and I'm dying to hear your opinion, Ray, about DeMarcus, because I think he was hurting them a lot more than he was helping them. And I think a lot of it has to do with that. He's coming back from another injury. I just think he's rusty. You know, he's turning the ball over. I think he had like three turnovers in the first 3 minutes or something like that. And it was just ugly. And it just hurt the Warriors. And I don't think he should be playing a lot. And it's a tough call for Steve Kerr, because what are you going to do? Not play him, or, you know, not start him? I mean, here's a guy who's an all-star. You know, he's been an important part of this team when he's been healthy. But it just doesn't look like he's doing it right now. I'd rather see Andrew Bogut out there. I think Bogut is adding more. I mean, I think Bogut's better under the basket if they want to lob it to him. I don't think he's going to turn the ball over as much. I don't think he's going to jack up some three that I don't want to see. So, I don't know. This is a tough call for Steve Kerr.
Well, I'd imagine he's going to have to run Cousins out there at least for a stint in Game 5. But you saw what happened tonight. He wasn't out there in the second half. You know, it's pretty much, and I tweeted this out too, that's got to be a wrap on Boogie, because he was hurting them. I mean, the Warriors are getting absolutely killed at the center position. Part of it, you know, with Looney getting hurt, and part of it is Cousins, and this will happen with a guy just coming back from an injury that might be, you know, getting a boost of energy when he comes back, but then kind of crashes down to earth. And I think that's where Cousins is now. He was totally out of control in the first half with the turnovers, everything going on, just some bad decision-making. And, you know, the one good stretch he had was the second half of Game 2, and he kind of saved them. He was terrific. He helped save them there. But, like I said, he came, you know, the regression to the mean in the last couple of games, actually way past the mean, to whatever below the mean is. And meanwhile, you got Gasol and Ibaka, and they're just killing the Warriors. In fact, the front court, I saw a stat. I think the Raptors in this series so far are outscoring the Warriors by about 60, 70 points in the front court. So that's Kawhi, that's Siakam, that's Gasol, and that's Ibaka, who was huge tonight, especially in the second half. So, yeah, I suppose he's, just because of the math of the situation, he's got to try to put Cousins out there for a few minutes and see if he can do something, you know, in Toronto. But, yeah, he's got to lean a little bit more on Bogut. He's played the better minutes. And, of course, Looney. And it's tough because Looney's sitting there playing with a flak jacket, and he's got to, pain's got to be killing him. I mean, we all know modern medicine is a marvel. You can get through a couple hours of basketball, but, man, it's going to be tough for him going forward. And I give him all the credit in the world for begging the doctors to get a second opinion, and they found out that he could indeed play. But it's real tough for the Warriors. That's one position where they're at a decided disadvantage right now. And, you know, just one other thing about Curry, and I know a lot of people felt this way. You know, I was watching the game on Wednesday and thinking, okay, they're down by, 14, 15 with 5 minutes to go, probably a good time to sit Curry. But it is the finals, and you got to take a shot. And with a guy like Curry, you always have a puncher's chance. Maybe he hits two or three threes, but it's just not happening that way. You know, this is a team that's stretched, and now the fabric is fraying, and I don't know how they repair it at this point. Unless Kevin Durant comes back and gives them, you know, a remarkable rescue performance, they're somehow able to get back to Oracle and win a game. But this is the longest of long shots now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And this team does seem frustrated, especially about what you were talking about, as far as players in the front court. You know, a Serge Ibaka having a game like this with 20 points and 9 of 12 from the field, and kind of similar to what Siakam did in the first game in Toronto. So that frustration is going to continue. I mean, even if KD comes back, they got to figure out ways to play better defense inside. They can't allow these easy shots. And by the way, when Toronto was 2 for 17 on threes in the first half, some of those shots were wide open. I mean, it wasn't so much the Warriors were playing great defense. It would look to me like the Raptors were just missing open shots, and then eventually in the third quarter they started hitting them.
Well, this is a point I made with the guys at ESPN 97.5 in Houston this week, that in Game 1, the Raptors had 18 open looks, and they made 8 of them. In Game 2, they had 24 open looks, and they made 8 of them, and they lost the game. And they come back and they make them on Wednesday. They made a bunch of them. And tonight, open looks. If they're not making them, I think the Warriors did play very good defense in the first half, but there were still open shots that the Raptors felt like they could have made. You're not going to see any NBA team go 2-for-17 all the time. And sure enough, in the second half, they started making a higher percentage. So, and it comes down to the Warriors' defense. I think that's along with the injuries, the Warriors' defense in this series is the story, along with the Raptors obviously being a championship-level team. They're a really solid basketball team. They're well coached, and they do a lot of different things, and they play defense. That used to be the Warriors' calling card. Not so much anymore. Great intensity in the first half, and I think that they caused the Raptors maybe to rush some of those open looks, but this has been a story we've talked about time and time again this year. The defensive lapses. And listen, it takes a lot of energy to play defense. It's also true that a great offense beats a great defense in the NBA most of the time, but unless you're a little banged up or tired. But I think for the Warriors, it's been a calling card. That's what gets a lot of their offense going when they get the steals, when they get the rebounds off of missed shots, and it's not happening on a consistent basis, and it hasn't this year. And there are a lot of different reasons for that. Some of that has to do with mental focus. Some of that has to do with physical pains. I don't even know if Draymond, I know he's not 100% because he's got his share of ice packs as well. But you don't have Kevin Durant out there. You didn't have Klay Thompson. You didn't have Kevon Looney. Your defense is going to suffer. And then you start seeing things like in the second half where they're missing open assignments. They're missing on transition defense. They're not helping out. And that's a lack of energy. And that's another point I want to get to here, Joe, real quick. And I think Nick Nurse is a really good coach, and obviously the Raptors felt so too as they made the change, and it's paid off famously. They, even though they didn't get the results they wanted in the first half, they pushed the pace because they know the Warriors are vulnerable right now and a little banged up, and they went to cash that check in the second half.
I agree with everything you just said right there, and I think Kyle Lowry, you don't really look at the final numbers with him to know what kind of a game he played. I think he's making an impact whether he scores 20-plus points or not. I think he's huge. I know that there was probably a lot of emotion for him when they traded DeMar DeRozan and this whole change went on, underway for them. But I think that he is coming up so big for them in the playoffs. He's playing so hard. He just seems to be executing very well. And if the Warriors continue to see that, I don't know. I mean, that's to me one of the big keys. Yeah, of course, Kawhi Leonard's playing great, and Siakam and these other guys, they're getting the contributions that they need. But Lowry is the mainstay there who's really playing a great series.
Well, especially in the last two games. He wasn't a whole much of a factor in the first two games, but the last two, he's great in game three. He scored 23 points. But I hate this phrase, but I guess it's one that people understand in basketball. He played a great floor game. I mean, everybody plays on the floor, but I mean, his management of the game and his decision making was so good tonight. A little slip pass to Siakam that I think was the final dagger late in the fourth quarter. It was a really nice play, and he's making the shots when he needs to, and he's. He's kind of an underrated guy. He's a little on and off with his shooting, but other than that, I think he's running that offense really well. And he's also been dealing with all this media frenzy about what happened, with the Warriors minority owner Mark Stevens and flying into the crowd in Game 3, and I think he handled that very well also.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Canes Tire.
After the Game 4 loss, let's hear what Klay Thompson and Steph Curry had to say.
They're a great team. They're in the NBA Finals. I mean, they got a lot of, everyone knows their role. They got a lot of experience, guys who've been here before. And, I mean, hopefully, you know, game five, we have bigger runs and they can't close the gap. But it's just basketball. You got to give them credit.
That's not over. I mean, this is just not a good feeling right now, obviously. But like you said, we've been on both sides of it. And for us, it's an opportunity for us to, you know, just flip this whole series on its head. And you got to do it one game at a time. It sounds cliche. And for us, that's literally the only way we're going to get, you know, back in the series is give everything we got for 48 minutes. Everybody that steps foot on that floor in game five. In our locker room, we were talking about believing, you know, everybody out there, you know, believe that we can get this done. And we got, like I said, we can draw on those experiences that we had, you know, back in the day and see what happens.
Here's Steve Kerr on Friday night after the game.
We're playing a really good team that moves the ball. And I think we've had our moments defensively, but we haven't been able to string together the stops over the course of a game that we've needed to. So I give them the credit. They've just played really well offensively, and they got a lot of threats out there, a lot of shooters, a lot of passers, and so they're playing well, and we've got to do better.
We'll be back with more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. I'm glad you brought up Mark Stevens because, yeah, I definitely want to get into this because I'm not sure how you feel about it, but I really think he should have been just, you know, abolished from being in an NBA arena, you know, as a minority owner. I just think that was completely inexcusable. I mean, that's inexcusable for any fan to be pushing a player like that. But for a guy who's a minority owner to be doing that, I thought it was lenient for him to get 1 year. And I know that's a lot of money, $500,000. But to me, it was more that you need to send that message that nobody, you know, no fan should be able to do that, and let alone, you know, a minority owner to be pushing a player like that. And yeah, he's saying, oh yeah, I made a mistake. No, you're done. You can't come back from something like that. Maybe I'll change my mind later, but right now, Ray, I just feel strongly that he should not be allowed. Or maybe you give him, you know, what happened with like a Pete Rose, where, you know, you can maybe get reinstated later, but we're not putting you back anytime soon. We'll have to think about it.
Well, the reports I'm hearing is that eventually they're going to ask him to divest and give up his share. And, you know, at that point, you know, he'll never see the sideline seat again, first of all. He shouldn't. If he ever comes back to an arena at the new Chase Center, for example, he's going to be up in the suite, and he's not going to be somebody that's going to be out there in front of the public anymore. You can't have somebody who's done something like that in the NBA be any kind of representative for your franchise. I mean, it crosses a line anytime a fan or a player gets into any kind of altercation. But when you're talking about somebody who is a part owner of a team, that's way out of bounds. And I know he put out a statement saying that's not who I am. And I hear politicians release these kind of statements for misdeeds all the time. And it drives me straight up a tree, Joe. It is who you are. It's a part of who you are. We all make mistakes, for sure. We all have our bad moments, our misjudgments, but I don't sit there and say that's not who I am. It is part of who I am. Hopefully not a big part. It's probably not been a big part of this guy either, but he made a horrible error in judgment at the wrong time, and it makes you wonder, you know, what kind of attitude you have that makes you think that you can do that to a guy, a player who is doing his job, flying into the stands to go for a loose ball, and he's not even affecting you. He's two seats down. And I guess it was his wife. Stevens' wife was next to him. But Stevens himself didn't have anything to do with it. He's just diving in the stands for the ball, and then he reaches over and shoves him. And according to Lowry, he uttered some vulgarities on top of that. No, you're done. That's it. $500,000 fine, that's pretty harsh for the NBA. For him, that's what he finds under his sofa cushion. On the scale, it sounds like a lot to you and me. It's probably like a couple hundred dollars to you and me, which still hurts, but still, I think that's not a bad response by the NBA, because you know this, Joe, the NFL, they take forever with this stuff, especially when it involves an owner. The NBA, they don't mess around. And I don't think the Warriors are either. I wouldn't be surprised if eventually he does have to divest. And I'm not going to feel sorry for him. He's still going to be walking around with a big bag of money. And he's going to have a lifetime, unfortunately for him, to think about what he did. But, you know, he did issue an apology. I don't know if he reached out to Lowry or not. I don't know what happened there, as I understand it. And if I were Lowry, I wouldn't want to talk to him either. But it's a horrible look for the NBA when something like that happens. So the league had to respond right away, and the Warriors had to as well. They kicked him out, and he won't be on the sideline ever again, at the very least. I wouldn't be surprised if he's no longer a part owner of the team.
Another aspect to this is how Lowry handled it, because he couldn't have handled it any better. I mean, you think about it, a lot of people, just human beings, if they get pushed like that, they might start pushing back. It might turn into a brawl. It could have been really, really ugly, but, you know, he just went right to the officials, and the way he handled it, even in the media, was really pretty good. I just thought he was a stand-up guy there, where he, you know, he could have made it into a worse situation, you know, by starting to be physical with the minority owner there, Mark Stevens, but he didn't do that.
Well, it's the finals. You better not do something like that. But, he showed a lot of restraint there. And you know, the players feel, on any of these teams, feel very strongly about this sort of thing. If an owner, a part owner, you know, a billionaire, a venture capitalist, has that kind of attitude toward the player, what does it say? What does it say about, you know, an overall attitude toward players in general when you do something like that? You know, there are a whole lot of societal questions there that I won't get into. But again, you're saying that's not who you are. It is who you are. Everything we do is part of who we are, but there are consequences for that.
All right, Ray. Well, we look forward to talking about Game 5 after that happens. Could be it for the Warriors, and the Toronto Raptors could win their first NBA title, but we'll see. It's not over yet. And the Warriors are certainly going to come out as hard as they can in Game 5 on Monday.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible way to end the 47 years at Oracle Arena if that's what happened in the last two games, or what happened this whole week of controversy. You talk about ending with a thud. I would hope that a team with championship blood in them won't let that happen, and we at least have one more home game here. But it's looking very good for the Raptors.
Talk to you on Monday. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.